Welcome to Witness Wednesday. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Wood, with the LCMS Office of National Mission, live in the Worldwide KFUO studios this morning with Andy Bates.
Good. It helps when I turn up my mic. Good morning. Oh,
good morning, Andy.
It sounds totally different when I turn on my microphone.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, a blessed Wednesday. You're here in the flesh in the building.
Yes, I was at the LCMS convention yesterday and flew back last night and pretty excited because on Sunday the floor committee one presented a resolution regarding Everyone as Witness, our evangelism program, and it was overwhelmingly approved by the convention. So I guess.
So now you really have a lot of work to do.
Now we can get busy. And Everyone as Witness is the program that we've built around LASSE. Mm-hmm. Listen, ask, seek, share, invite, encourage, the approach on how to be a witness of Jesus in our current world, the context in which you find yourself in your daily life. If we want to get fancy, we call it vocational evangelism, but I just like to refer to it as your everyday life, right where God has put you. And, as we talk about being witnesses of Jesus in this way, this natural, non-threatening, no-pressure evangelism, it reminds me that, the conference I was at a couple weeks ago where kind of some old-school evangelism ideas are still very prominent, where there was a lot of pressure and it was driven by the law, and, they talked about conversion rates and things like that, and it's all very man-centered. It's so freeing, I think, as Lutherans for us to see evangelism as God intended it to be, a joyful work in which we get to share in the mission of God to seek and to save the lost. And it makes Lutheran evangelism distinctive. Mm-hmm. I thought we could continue our discussion about what makes Lutheran evangelism distinctive.
So aside from not being anthropocentric.
Ooh, you got it all out.
I had to say it very slowly. So if we were to put a big word, to label it with a big word, and it's not anthropocentric.
Yeah, it's not man-centered.
It's
Christ-centered.
Uh-huh.
And it's gospel-driven. We talked about that last week on Witness Wednesday, that our motivation for being Christ witnesses is found in the gospel, not in the law. Mm-hmm. So if you're talking about one really nice way to kind of summarize, well, how do I know what's law and what's gospel? Is just that when we're talking about what man has to do, we're talking about the law. Mm-hmm. When we talk about what God does, we're talking about the gospel. Now, that's really simplifying things, oversimplifying things, but it's a good, quick litmus test. So if I'm talking about, well, I have to do this, and if I do this a certain way, I can get a certain conversion rate, that's all man-centered, that's law-based.
So grammatically speaking, if there's an imperative used, it's most likely law.
Right. It's a command. It's telling you must do something. Also, if you throw grammar into this, and if Adrian's listening, she'll be excited because we're talking about grammar. And
just don't use an Oxford comma.
Oh, well, I'm kind of fond of those.
Me too.
When the subject of a sentence, the actor, the subject is a man, is us, we're in the realm of the law. When the subject is God, we're typically in the realm of the gospel. Obviously, exceptions to that. God's going to judge the world. That would not be gospel. Again, that's a little bit oversimplified, but it helps to sort things out. So we start putting things into categories. And so if evangelism is man-centered, then all the results are on us. We're going to be judged on how well we did this task that God gave us to do.
Now, we're not throwing out the law.
No.
Not being, is it antinomian?
We wouldn't want to be that.
Yeah.
So
we're not throwing out the law.
Then we'd have to be able to spell it. if we don't throw out the law, but the law can't motivate us to be witnesses of Jesus. All it could do is tell us we've failed. We haven't been the witnesses we should be. This is the source of the guilt, the angst, and the shame of evangelism among many Christians. But we look to the gospel that says, Christ has freed us from sin and death, and he has filled us with living water. And now we have all these people in our lives who are dying of thirst, and we can point them to the fountain of that brings them life-giving water as well. Who wouldn't do that? If you had a friend or a loved one or a coworker who was physically dying of thirst, and you had, you know, 20 cases of bottled water from Sam's Club in the back of your car, would you not share that water with them? You know, just out of love and compassion for them? You know, how much more so we who have an endless supply of living water should not be sharing that with those whom we love and care about, because we have compassion for them. And so the Lutheran distinctive in evangelism is to work from that perspective. And it helps to talk about it. You can't get any more Lutheran than this. Talk about it in terms of the small catechism. There you go. So, particularly when we talk about the Apostles' Creed, of course, the Apostles' Creed comes in three articles, you know, the first being, I believe in God the Father. You know, he's the creator of all things. So we tend to think of the first article in terms of creation. I say, well, what does that have to do with evangelism? Well, partly, and this is part of our creation, is that God has given us, well, Luther says, my reason and senses, right? Along with all the other good things God's given me, you know, my clothing, my shoes, my material blessings, all these things, he's given me my reason and senses. And so,
some more than others.
Yeah, it depends. Apparently, it doesn't apply to driving, but that's another story. So, don't you hate it when people drive like you do? That's one of my pet peeves. You drive like I do.
I digress.
Okay.
So he's given me my reason and senses.
My reason and senses. And what does that mean? Well, it means that God wants us to use our reason and senses to be effective witnesses. So when we talk about Lassie as an approach to witnessing, we're really making use of the gifts God has given us that fall into the first article, my reason and senses. You're not going to go to a book in the Bible and find, here's how to do evangelism. Here's the steps or the approach that you should be using because it's from the book of Acts or from 2 Hezekiah 14 or wherever somebody's going to pull it out of the Bible or not the Bible, because 2 Hezekiah is not really a book, Andy.
Oh, that's why I can't find it.
Yeah, okay. Don't, you know, stop searching on Bible Works. So what do we do then? God hasn't just left us to our own devices. He's given us reason and senses. He's given us the gifts we need to figure out, well, how do we go about doing evangelism in the context that we... Now, Lassie may work really well in American context today, but may not work at all in another context. So reason and senses guides us. Well, the second article of the Apostles' Creed is about Christ, our Redeemer. And in there, you know, that should be pretty obvious how that comes into play for evangelism.
But, I should hope so.
Yeah. So, evangelism's all about Jesus. But what message do we really bring out of that second article that as we go out into the world of Christ witnesses? And in the Catechism has this really good question, number 140, has Christ redeemed only you? And the answer, no. Christ has redeemed me and all people. Well, who's the gospel for then?
All people.
All people. Who should we be sharing this with?
All people.
All people. So that's another distinctive of Lutheran evangelism, not unique to Lutheran evangelism, but distinctive of Lutheran evangelism. It's for all people. You know, we're not going to pre-qualify people to hear the gospel from us. We're not going to clean them up.
That's what I was going to ask. Does this mean that it's only for moral, upright people?
No, it's for all people, and especially those who are weighed down by their sin, and that we can come to them and bring them the good news. It's for all people, because all people are by nature spiritually starving and thirsting, and we have the bread of life and the water of life to bring to them. So we don't pre-qualify people. We don't categorize people. We say this is for all people.
we don't pre-qualify them like a credit card or a loan application.
Right. Yeah, you're like that. It's better news than getting that thing in the mail that says you're pre-approved for this. No, this is Christ has died for all people. So we have that the joyful work of bringing it indiscriminately to everybody in our lives. So then the third article then of the Apostles' Creed gives us another Lutheran perspective or distinctive on evangelism, and that's you know the work of the Holy Spirit. I can't by my own reason or strength. So God's given us reason and senses to mm-hmm. use, but we can't use our own reason or strength to come to Jesus Christ. And we certainly can't do that for others. So while my reason and senses guides me in how do I approach evangelism, it's not my reason and senses that make it effective, that the Holy Spirit is at work, and it's not on me. My work is to bring the good news of Jesus to all people, but the Holy Spirit will gather those whom he will gather. And so question 191 in the small catechism is, are you sure that you have eternal life? And it says, even now as I believe in Christ my Savior, I also know that I've been chosen to eternal life out of pure grace in Christ without any merit of my own, and that no one can pluck me out of his hand. And then in parentheses it adds, eternal election of grace or predestination. And so when we go out as evangelists, as we go out with people bringing good news to all people, we know that only some of them have been chosen for eternal life. What we don't know is which ones have been and which ones don't. So we take it to all people.
All people. Right. It's, who are we to try to determine that?
We can't. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the purview of the Holy Spirit. But while we're doing that, we have this wonderful comfort, consolation, that we ourselves are secure in the love of Jesus Christ by faith, he has chosen us for eternal life, and our eternal life isn't dependent on how well we do this evangelism thing. Our eternal life is dependent on, the mercy of God and the merits of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. So as we go to other people, we go out and share the gospel with all people, knowing that, hey, the Holy Spirit is going to gather those whom he has chosen for eternal life, just like he did for us, and it's not up to us. It's not about my technique. It's not about my effectiveness, my winsomeness. And here's the flip side of that. I can't blow it. Okay. What a comfort that is for people. You're not going to go to heaven one day and get a list from the Holy Spirit to say, I would have saved your Uncle Bill, but you didn't do a very good job of evangelism. He's pretty much toast now because you blew it. You're never going to hear those words because it's not up to you. It's not dependent on you. Your role is to get the word out, to share it with all people in your life. The Holy Spirit works faith when and where he wills.
I was just thinking of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth.
Right.
We only have a few seconds left. Well, that's what we have to figure out next time.
Well, there's a real simple way to approach that. When we talk about election by grace or predestination, we're talking about the mind of God, mm-hmm. Which is hidden from us. He's revealed only so much of that. But when we get to 1 Timothy 2, what we see is the heart of God. He wants all people to be saved. That's his true heart's desire. So as evangelists, what we want to do is focus on that. Focus on what we do know. We know the heart of God, the heart of God that has taken us from death to life, who wants that for all people. And so we get to share that with all people.